This is Two Point Conversion with BYU Football, where the Cougars from the Gridiron share insights and testimony of the restored gospel of Jesus Christ.
My name is Connor Payne. I'm here with Chase Roberts. And, you know, this is a pretty cool thing that we get to participate in. It's new. This is our first episode ever. We'll see how it goes. But, you know, Chase and I kind of had an idea to do a Come Follow Me podcast probably 4 or 5 months ago. We started thinking about this idea.
Yeah, just this past summer.
Yeah, and, you know, and one of the reasons why we wanted to do it was that, you know, obviously people get to see us perform on the field, and they get to see a lot of our school and football side of our lives, but not a ton into the spiritual side of our lives, which is obviously a major part, if not the biggest part. And, you know, not many people get to see that, and just to get to share Come Follow Me insights with everybody. And, you know, so that's kind of how this was born. And then, was it Keith Vorkink we were talking to?
Yeah. Keith kind of got it running for us.
Yeah. Media Day. We were at Media Day in Las Vegas, and we were telling Keith about this idea, and he linked us up with all the big wigs here at BYU Broadcasting.
That's
and,
right.
You know, so I think it's going to be a cool thing.
Yeah, very fortunate for us. You know, we get opportunities in interviews sometimes to share about our love for Christ, but now we get to really dive in and show, you know, who we are as BYU football players, that we rely on Christ in our everyday efforts, you know, during practices, during games. And this is going to be awesome to be able to share and hopefully bring, you know, Christ more into our lives. You can't talk enough about our Savior Jesus Christ. So what a cool opportunity to do this.
Yeah, no doubt. And just kind of how it'll work is, you know, this first episode will just be Chase and I, just as we kick things off. And, you know, but in the future, for hopefully all of our episodes after this one, we're going to bring on guests to come and participate and Come Follow Me with us. You know, hopefully some people in the administration of the school and teammates, whether they're of our faith or not. And so I think it's going to be really fun to get to hear different people's perspectives along with ours. And, okay, you know, one of us will lead those discussions each week and share our insights from Come Follow Me. And, you know, you'll be able to find this wherever you find your podcast. It's going to be on all of those platforms. It's going to be on BYU Radio, the BYU Radio app, YouTube. It's going to be all those places. So, looking forward to, you know, doing this and having a chance for you guys to listen to us talk about the gospel, whether you enjoy our insights or not.
That's right. Hopefully see you guys every week.
Exactly. So I guess we should probably just introduce ourselves a little bit, because people know us as the football players, but they don't necessarily know much about our lives. So, like I said, my name is Connor Pay. I was born in San Diego, California. Moved here to Highland, Utah when I was 7 years old. So Utah is really home. Don't remember much about California. Went to Lone Peak High School here for people who are familiar with Utah County. Graduated there in 2018, served my mission in Washington, D.C., in the Northern Virginia area mainly, from the summer of 2018 to the summer of 2020. And then when I got back from my mission, joined the team in the summer of 2020 and been here ever since.
Mine's story similar to Connor. I'm an American Fort kid, though, so we were rivals growing up. Connor's a year older than me. So I got to BYU a year later than he did. Connor had this awesome freshman season. I've always looked up to Connor and what he's been able to do on and off the field. I served my mission in Calgary, Canada, and I spoke Tagalog, which was a pretty special, cool experience. Those 2 years were absolutely amazing. And, you know, it's, you know, these type of things, these podcasts and being able to share our testimonies, you know, it really brings us back, you know, to our missions. And there's no, that feeling that you have on your mission, you just want it, you know, as much as you can. So being on a podcast and being able to share Come Follow Me and the stories of Jesus Christ really, you know, brings us back. And so that's a little bit about me, and excited to do this with Connor.
Yeah, dude, it's going to be fun.
Let's do it. Let's get into some Jesus.
All right. So this week we're covering the third Nephi 17 through 19. Some pretty powerful chapters.
Pretty amazing. Yeah.
Pretty amazing.
It's pretty good one to start off with, if I say so myself. So
no, and so I think you know, as I reviewed these chapters and this Chase and I, as we've talked about this, there's kind of three main categories, it felt like, that stuck out to us. And, you know, as it was Jesus as the ultimate minister, his institution of the sacrament, obviously.
Yep.
And then how disciples of Christ seek the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. So I think let's start with that first one, where as Jesus as the ultimate minister, you know, right from the jump, he's around the people, and he's about to leave. And the people don't explicitly say it, but it says that Christ could feel that they're like, oh, man, please don't leave. Please don't leave.
Yeah.
And so he chooses to stay. And he heals the sick, and he blesses the children. And he prays for them so powerfully that it says that the words couldn't be written down, mm-hmm. and that their joy was indescribable. And so I just want to get your thoughts on that, Chase, just as the kind of that introduction to chapter 17, we kind of start off with a bang right there.
Yeah, I think I reading through this, I just wish I was there. I feel like I've had moments in my life where I'm like, you know, Jesus, don't leave me, you know, but it's never been that to where he's physically, you know, with me. And I just can't imagine that feeling that they must have had and the overwhelming joy of Christ. I love how when he did choose to stay, that he went one by one and he healed them and blessed them, and he focused on every individual. And I feel like as the ultimate minister, that's what you do. And with President Nelson's, you know, 100th birthday, he focused on the 99 plus the one, right?
Yeah.
And I think it's just a great timing to focus on that one person and just showing how ministers care about the individual. And that's what I've been trying to work on more in my ministering and being a good teammate as well on the football field, is focusing on the one and being able to pick that guy up that might be struggling that game or that practice or whatever it is in life, that if we can take him aside and put our arm around him, then that has a lot. That's a big impact on not just the individual, but the whole team.
That's interesting. I hadn't necessarily thought about taking those characteristics of ministering and bringing it into the locker room.
Yeah.
But I guess when you really think about it, the things we do for each other are the same, you know, and we can take those skills that we've obtained from ministering, mm-hmm. and help us have a better team, more secure locker room. Exactly. And I think as I was reading through these first verses in chapter 17, it was almost a little bit of a chastising experience for me. And when I thought about it in the framework of ministering,
yeah,
because it was like, man, I'm looking at the way Jesus is ministering to these people, and it's like, geez, I do not treat my ministering like that. Like, I didn't even know who my ministering companion was until like a week ago.
I think a lot of us can relate, yeah.
And so, I think about the way he prayed for them. That really stuck out to me. And, you know, it caused me to just ponder the question for myself, you know, do I really try and pray that earnestly for the people I minister to? Do I care enough about them to pray for them like that? And if I don't, why not? You know, and it's I guess that's a question I would pose to you, mm-hmm. Chase, as a clearly a very effective minister.
No, no, I'm with you on that. I got to know who my ministering brothers are still. So.
But I guess what are your thoughts on that? On how the Savior prayed for them and how we can apply that.
Yeah, I think the power of prayer is amazing. And one thing Kalani, our head coach, has started to do is asking us to pray more in our football meetings, in our individual position meetings as well. And I think just the power of prayer, and then when we apply it to praying for an individual, praying for our ministering people, that there's so much power. Heavenly Father's listening to us, and then he's going to give us promptings. When we're willing to pray and listen to the promptings, then He's going to give those to us, and we're going to be able to act in a way that benefits our minister. And whether he needs something at that moment, or whether he needs a little text, a little treat, something like that, I think prayer is so key in us as ministers. And I mean, Christ is just the perfect example of prayer. And obviously these people couldn't even describe these words that Christ was saying as he was praying, because of probably how much Jesus Christ prayed and knew how to pray, and just the power of it, and how important it was to him. And if we can implement that into our lives, then there'll be a big impact to not only us, but our ministers.
Yeah, no, I agree. That's something I'm definitely going to try to do.
Yeah.
You know, basically everything you just described right there is something that I'm going through my head. You know, it's like, all right, man, I gotta kick my ministering into gear a little bit and start to apply some of those things.
Exactly.
And as we move into chapter 18, mm-hmm. you know, in the institution of the sacrament, you know, I think that the sacrament for me started to gain real significance as a missionary, because I think, honestly, as unfortunate as it is, that's probably the first time I really took it seriously.
Yeah. No,
and started to understand its meaning mm-hmm. a little more. And it's always interesting to me. I mean, I've heard this question a million times, but, you know, for some reason, it when I was younger, it just never resonated. You know, just why is the sacrament the most participated in ordinance? Why is it the most frequent ordinance that we do in the church?
Yeah. I think this is such a important part of our growth and our becoming like Heavenly Father. When we're baptized, we, you know, covenant with him that we're going to remember him, that we're going to follow him and try to become like him. And if we're going to remember him, we got to do something repeatedly. We got to remind ourselves, because we're, as a natural man, as a natural person, we forget. We're very forgetful. And as we come back every Sunday and partake of the sacrament, He promises us that as we do this, that we will always have his Spirit to be with them. And as we remember him and keep him first in our life, that the Spirit will be with us. And that is why it is, to me, why it is so important. As I mean, looking back, when I'm 8 years old, I get baptized and it's cool. You know, you get to go under the water and yeah, Christ is awesome. Yeah, you feel that Spirit. But when you get older, you realize the importance of that ordinance that you partake of. And then as you partake of the sacrament, you remember that feeling. And it only grows as you gain your knowledge of Jesus Christ. And so I think that's, you know, it's so important that we partake of the sacrament every week to remember him.
Yeah. I think that covenant renewal that you talked about with baptism is, I think, probably, at least in my opinion, I think that's the key for the frequency,
mm-hmm.
right, of how often we get to partake of the sacrament, to renew those covenants so we can, like you said, remember.
Just remember him. Yeah, we can't forget, especially now these days. Yes. Like things are so crazy. We got to remember Jesus Christ every day, every moment, or we're gonna fall.
No, it's true. And I know especially after those Saturday games, when I look back on some of the things I did in that game, some of the things I said, I am really looking forward to the sacrament the next day, where it's like, okay, I very clearly made some mistakes and said some things I should not have said. I'm looking forward to that cleansing experience that the sacrament can be.
I love it.
At least that it is for me.
Yeah.
You know, and
no, we all have our weaknesses.
We do. And I'm not ashamed to say that language is my.
Connor struggles a little bit, but he's.
I have improved.
You've improved a lot.
You can be my witness that I have improved.
Yes.
If you think about me compared to last year when we were sucking all the time.
That is true. Winning is the key. Or is it more?
I don't know. No, because I've been better since like January.
That's
too.
True.
Before we even played games, I made it a goal this year that I was going to swear less.
Yes. And you've been doing great.
I've kind of been trying. Because sometimes it's when I hit both ends of the spectrum. I need to be better at controlling my emotions. Because when I get super hyped, whether it's really good, I start to swear a lot, or whether I get really emotional the other direction and I'm really mad, I start to swear a lot. Yeah. So I gotta hone that in. All right, I gotta hone that in. But thank heaven I get to take the sacrament every
week. That's right.
You know,
that's what it's all about.
Continue the improvement. All right, and I think that's one of the big goals of the sacrament. Mm-hmm. That constant reminder so we can continue to improve. Because the sacrament is so symbolic of who gave us that ability to change and that ability to improve.
Exactly.
And receive a remission of our sins. You know, when you think about the bread and representation of Christ's body.
Yeah.
And the water and representation of his blood. You know, when you think about it in the literal sense, you know, it's a powerful thing where you can feel a real connection with the atonement of Jesus Christ in those moments of the sacrament. You can, you know, when I sip that water and, you know, I remember and I think of that, the blood dripping from his body, you know, from every pore for me, and the way his body was broken and beaten, the way that we break that bread, you know, and it's, I think when you think about really the words of the prayer for one and the actual physical symbols that the sacrament represents, it's pretty special.
It's the most special. I think Jesus Christ had his moment with these people, and one of the first things he thought of, I mean, to take a big chunk of his time and to make sure that they partook of the sacrament and showed them the significance of it, just shows you how much we need to take this ordinance seriously. And everyone has their own little things that they do during sacrament. So whatever it is, I feel like it's good to have a little routine or something that you think about during the sacrament, whether it's pulling out the scriptures and reading about Jesus Christ, or just pondering the prayer, or sitting there and pondering your week, whatever it is, I feel like it's good to have a certain thing you think about or thing you do during the sacrament to make it an impactful experience for you every week.
Okay, yeah, that ties in right into what I wanted to talk about next, which is how we can get the most out of our sacrament experience. Mm-hmm. So what is that you mentioned routine. Mm-hmm. What does that routine look like for you?
Yeah, I kind of keep it simple. I love, obviously, the sacrament, a portion of the meeting. And if I can be silent and kind of think back on the week of maybe the little things that I could improve on, the things that I want to do this upcoming week, and then listen. And then I have a little notes section in my phone that I put all those promptings that I receive into, just what I need to improve on, whether it's a football thing, whether it's, you know, with family, with specifically with my scripture study or prayer. It could be anything, and it's different every time, those promptings. So it's kind of the simple thing that I do every sacrament.
Well,
you do anything crazy?
As the scriptures say, by small and simple things.
That's right. That's
right. So I think you're on the right track. I think for me, you know, I think one of the ways that I get the most out of my sacrament experience, or I think one of the ways that it's been hindered the most in the past, is through distractions, right? You know,
and ESPN, I think updates,
right? Exactly. Pulling out my phone, looking at something, which I my scriptures are on my phone, so it's not a bad thing to have it out.
Yeah. But
just to, you know, when I get distracted by that notification or update of an NFL score or something like that, and I'm in the middle of the sacrament experience, you know, that's a, you know, when I think back on myself, it's like, man, I can't think of anything more disrespectful to the Savior's sacrifice than getting distracted by something else on my phone during, you know, our time to remember and renew our covenant relationship with Him. Mm. And so, but I mean, my routine, I guess, I've been doing this for years, really since on my mission and since I've been home. I love to follow along word for word with the prayers. And I always have the scriptures open, either just the sacrament prayers from Gospel Library or the verses in Moroni, you know, just following along with the sacrament prayers, and I'll just sit there and I'll just reread the prayers as the sacrament trays are passed around, and you know, clicking on the words that are highlighted that have footnotes, and you know, I've read those footnotes a million times, but you know, different weeks and different sacrament experiences, they have different meanings for me. And so that's something that I've always done. And, you know, I think, it's helpful. I think one thing for me that I definitely need to improve on is the preparation aspect. Mm-hmm. What do I do beforehand? You know, to prepare to partake of the sacrament.
It's a little difficult when we get back at 3 a.m.
It's true.
after a game, but
it's true. It's hard.
I want to hear how you.
Well, just in thinking about it, you know, it's like it takes me back to those first verses in chapter 17 mm-hmm. of 3 Nephi, where Jesus is like, "You're not quite understanding. Go home, pray about it, ponder, and prepare for me to come back tomorrow."
Yeah,
and it's like that. I feel like that's what I need to do. You know, and it's I need to go. I need to spend time by myself, praying, pondering. Because obviously there's things that are mistakes I made throughout the week, going and seeking forgiveness for those things in preparation for taking the sacrament, not just thinking about them while I'm about to take the sacrament, mm-hmm. sitting in the pew or sitting in the chair, you know, like, yeah. All right, let's go through, let's do a little checklist of all my sins this week and make sure I'm covered, you know, like,
yeah.
It's actually having thought about those and prepared to receive that remission of our sins that were promised. You know, I think that's one area where I feel like I can improve is my preparation before we ever get to the sacrament table.
I love that. Yeah, I agree. I could definitely improve the preparation part, especially after one of those late games.
Yeah, for sure.
Being able to remind myself, you know, there's something even more important than a football game tomorrow morning. And you know, I'm excited for that, and how am I going to prepare for that moment? So
I mean, and you say that you know, there is something more important than that football game. That I have a quote from Elder Holland kind of about that on the sacrament, because I think one of the best things we can do to prepare for the sacrament is to help us understand the real significance of it, because mm-hmm. it's easy to forget. You know, we've been told our whole lives how significant the sacrament is. It's easy to just be like, oh, yep, it's a sacrament. Here I am for the 50th week of the year.
Yeah.
You know, like it's my couple hundredth time, maybe thousandth time taking the sacrament.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, I think sometimes with the frequency, we can slip into complacency a little bit with the sacrament because of how often it happens. And I came across this quote from Elder Holland, and I loved it, on the importance of the sacrament. Elder Holland said, "Every ordinance of the gospel focuses in one way or another on the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. And surely this is why this particular ordinance, with all of its symbolism and imagery, comes to us more readily and more repeatedly than any other in our life. It comes in what has been called the most sacred, the most holy of all the meetings of the church. Perhaps we do not always attach that kind of meaning to our weekly sacramental service. How sacred and how holy is it? Do we see it as our Passover, remembrance of our safety and deliverance and redemption? With so very much at stake, this ordinance commemorating our escape from the angel of darkness should be taken more seriously than it sometimes is. It should be a powerful, reverent, reflective moment. It should encourage spiritual feelings and impressions. As such, it should not be rushed. It is not something to get over so the real purpose of a sacrament meeting can be pursued. This is the real purpose of the meeting. And everything that is said or sung or prayed in those services should be consistent with the grandeur of this sacred ordinance."
Wow. That's awesome.
When I read that, I was like, oh, yeah. Like, that's a smack on the back of my head.
For sure.
You know, where it's like, man, I do not treat it that way. Mm-hmm. And it's like, how often am I, you know, looking past the sacrament because I'm excited for, maybe we have a good Sunday school teacher or something. Yeah. I'm excited to get to, or it's a missionary homecoming or a missionary farewell, and I just can't wait to hear them speak.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm thinking past the sacrament when I think, well, what's the whole purpose of me even going to church in the first place?
Mm-hmm.
All those other lessons and all the edification that we get from being together is awesome. We're commanded to do that, to gather together oft.
Mm-hmm.
But the purpose and the reason we're there is to participate in that sacred ordinance of the sacrament.
Exactly. I love the word in the middle of that quote when he said, escape the devil in a sense, and escape the world. And if we're thinking about all the other things around sacrament, then we're still kind of in the world, right? But when we dial in on the main focus, the main part of it, then that's our escape. It's our time to look back on the blood and the body of Christ and remember him. So I loved that word and the quote.
Yeah, I mean, Elder Holland has a way with words.
He does.
He always has.
He always hits hard.
Well, man. Let's think about, too, you know, the promise we receive in partaking in the sacrament, not only a remission of our sins, but also that the Holy Ghost will be with us always. And, you know, as disciples and followers of Jesus Christ, we are to seek the gift of the Holy Ghost. And I think that's one thing that's often either misunderstood or not touched upon as often as it should, is the difference between the Holy Ghost and the gift of the Holy Ghost and what those promises actually mean.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think, you know, I think it's described exactly what it is. It's a gift of the Holy Ghost. It's a separate enhancing power that's given to baptized and confirmed members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. You know, that the Holy Ghost can be your constant companion. I'm sure you heard the analogy of the ring or whatever. As a missionary, I feel like every missionary knows
the
this
ring.
Analogy.
I don't know if I have. Maybe if you start saying it, then
it'll come back to you. Where it's like, an easy way to think about it is like, the Holy Ghost is like a ring.
Yeah.
Right? It can, yes. It can touch you.
Yeah, gotcha.
Whenever. Okay, you remember this? I'll finish it, coming though, back. Just for the sake of the people listening. In case you haven't heard
this. It was the language, the Tagalog, that messed me up.
Okay, sorry. I'm just kidding. Sorry, I'll try it. Next time I'll come prepared in Tagalog so you can
Tagalog,
understand
then I would know
what I'm saying. So the Holy Ghost is like a ring.
Yeah.
And that ring can touch you whenever. Mm-hmm. Whenever the Holy Ghost has the ability to touch you in any moment. But receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost is like putting that ring on.
Yeah.
Where it's always there, constant companion. You can feel its influence so often that oftentimes you don't even notice it anymore. And I think
that's a great analogy. Yeah, a good thing or a bad thing.
Yeah, it can. It's very true. But I think that's the importance of the sacrament, is we renew that promise. We make sure that ring is securely on every week when we partake of the sacrament. And I guess for you, what has specifically the gift of the Holy Ghost?
Mm-hmm.
And now this might be a difficult question because you've had it since you were 8 years old, so you may not remember what it was like not having it.
Yeah.
But what has that gift meant to you in your life?
Yeah, I think just the knowing that I have a constant companion, I think that's the biggest thing. Like you said, it's easy to forget sometimes when you have that ring on. It's a natural thing when you leave something on for so long that you forget it's there. And there's times, I think that's the struggle now, is to remember that the Holy Ghost is with me at all times. But just that feeling of when I do remember, having a constant companionship of the Holy Ghost, knowing that every task, every decision that I make is through the Holy Ghost, because that's how I'm living my life and that's how I'm making my decisions. It could be something so little as to where I eat for lunch that day, and or to what I need to say to this specific person that's struggling. And that constant companionship gives me those promptings and helps me and guides me throughout my life to become more like the Savior, to ultimately become like my Heavenly Father. And that's such an honor. It's such a gift. Yes, that's what I call it. Yeah. The gift of the Holy Ghost. So such a blessing.
No, it really is. And, you know, I just keep coming back to as you were describing that, like how often sometimes we forget.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we live in the Spirit, you're not necessarily going to know, all the time. But when you infuse the Holy Ghost into every decision you make all day, every day, becomes a part of you.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I feel like so often we're expecting these huge, amazing spiritual feelings, you know, where it's like, it's not exactly how it works, right? And it's, you know, you don't necessarily feel it. I think a good analogy or way to think about it is the way we physically grow, right? Where it's like, all growing up, I didn't feel my body stretching or getting taller. I never noticed it.
Yeah.
But I'd look back 6 months or a year later and I'd see the progress I've made.
Love that.
And I think the Holy Ghost works in a similar way. When we're doing things the right way, we're not always going to feel some crazy strong feeling. It'll still happen, of course. But when we are truly living the way we're being asked to live, the Holy Ghost simply becomes a part of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And so it doesn't have to knock so hard on the door. Sometimes it can brush that door so lightly you don't even notice, and you're still going to follow it because that's become a habit for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the gift of the Holy Ghost is so significant. It's such a blessing because that's truly, it's what sets us apart.
Yeah.
And so it reminds me of a story. I can't remember if I read this in the history of the church or on LDS Living or something like that, but I've always loved this story. When Joseph Smith went to go meet with the President of the United States when the saints were being persecuted and he wanted help, he went and met with President Van Buren. And President Van Buren kind of started grilling him a little bit, kind of like, okay, well, like, so much religious revival in that time period. President Van Buren was like, okay, well, what makes your church different? Why should I care about yours more than any of the other denominations that are popping up and saying they need help too?
Like,
what makes you different? Right. And I think when I thought to myself, like, oh, what would Joseph Smith say in this scenario? It's like, what makes us different? I mean, the obvious thing for me would be like the Book of Mormon.
Yeah.
Right. The Book of Mormon's different, you know, or, you know, maybe even priesthood authority, but you know, the Catholic Church claims to have that same priesthood authority. So that's not necessarily unique. Right. So I'm thinking to myself, man, what's Joseph Smith going to say in this scenario? And he turned to the President of the United States and he said, the thing that sets us apart is the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
That was his answer.
There you go.
And I thought that was so interesting that out of all the unique doctrines that we have, all the things that we've been blessed with, the restored knowledge, what he chose to pose to the President of the United States was that the gift of the Holy Ghost is what makes us different. You know, I think about the influence that members of the church have, and you always hear the stories of, you know, when people come. I think for us, we always hear about opposing fans coming to our football games and the great experience that they have.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like, hey, there's just something different.
Yeah.
About these BYU fans. I'm sure you heard plenty of stories on your mission where it's like, there's just something different about members of the church. Whether these people knew that who they were talking about were members of the church or not, they knew, mm-hmm. they recognized that there was something different.
Yeah.
And I think everyone is born with the light of Christ. Everyone has the influence of the Holy Ghost in their life, but not everyone has that laying on of hands, that confirmation to have it as their constant companion.
Yeah.
I think that might be what sticks out to people.
I think exactly. Shout out to all those BYU fans, you know, all those people that are living through the gift of the Holy Ghost. And just this past, I don't know if you read all these articles about Kansas State and their experience here at BYU. They didn't play very well, you know. We beat them pretty good. But after the quarterback was sharing his thoughts on BYU and the fans, and he said it was just weird. And I think that's a good way to describe, you know, the way that we act. You know, when we're destroying a team so bad, you think when they're walking out of the off the field, everyone's going to be heckling them, and that's what their quarterback thought would happen, when in reality it was very encouraging, and they said to keep your head up and to, you know, go win some games. And he said it was so weird, but it was a special experience. And I think
They donated to his
Yeah, exactly. Stuff like that. He's just like, what is happening? You know? Yeah. And
well, because I think, wasn't it coming into this game, there was going to be a certain amount of money donated for every touchdown he threw.
Exactly.
And he didn't throw any touchdowns.
Yeah.
And so, am I right on that?
Like, exactly.
BYU fans went and donated to his old high school principal as cancer,
yep.
I believe.
Yeah, and it was about $10,000 over what he actually needed. So, Wow. Shout out to all the BYU
fans.
Shout
out to the fans.
Pretty amazing. Gosh. But I think we embrace that, you know, title of weird, being different. And I think that comes from the gift of the Holy Ghost and sharing what's in our heart and really loving everyone, being like Christ.
No doubt. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that stuff. I had forgotten about all that stuff with Avery Johnson
pretty
and
cool.
The way BYU fans responded. That's pretty amazing. And I think that's why, you know, BYU athletics, BYU football is such a fantastic missionary tool.
Exactly.
We're able to touch, you know, millions of people on a weekly basis, either through our play, but probably mainly through their interaction with the fan base.
Exactly.
Or it's like, yeah, football, us players and us playing the game might be what draws the eyes, and they might see how we carry ourselves, but what really makes the difference is when they get to interact with BYU fans,
yeah.
And they get a small taste, a glimpse of what it's like to have the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Exactly.
To have that companionship and to see how they live and how they treat other people.
Love it.
Because I saw one other exchange. I'll just share this real quick before we finish up.
Yeah.
Some guy on Twitter had said that if BYU wins, I'll meet with the missionaries.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I just saw this exchange. People were texting me screenshots of it on from Twitter.
I love it.
And he has a time set with the missionaries. He sent a screenshot of his text exchange with the missionaries setting up
go.
The time. And he was kind of getting hammered by people on Twitter. Like, what are you doing? Like, obviously, all this anti-stuff being thrown at him. And he's like, hey, I said this as a joke, like, but I have an open mind. I haven't been a part of a faith in years.
Awesome. Love it.
Years. And he's like, and I want to see what they're all about. And he's like, I saw the way that they interacted and the way they treat people. He's like, I want to see why they do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's just, it's amazing what the influence of the gift of the Holy Ghost can have, not only on yourself, but you may not even realize, because it's a part of who you are, how it affects the people around you.
Mm-hmm.
And I can testify that having that gift of the Holy Ghost has been pivotal in my major life decisions and my tiny ones, and is a major reason why I'm where I'm at today, and I'm sure you could say the same. And I can testify of its power. And, you know, I wanna use that gift to be a better minister, right? To know how I can best prepare for my own individual sacrament experience on Sundays, and how I can honor this gift that I've been given from our Heavenly Father. And it's an amazing power. And I can testify of the reality of it and how it's affected me and how I know it's affected people around me, because I get to see it. And so I have a strong testimony. I have a strong testimony of the Holy Ghost and specifically the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Thanks for sharing. I can second that in, you know, the miracles that I've seen as I've been able to follow the promptings of the Spirit and try every day harder and harder to receive the promptings and to live through the Holy Ghost in every aspect of my life. And I'm definitely not perfect, and I struggle with it. But as I do, and when I do, I can see the joy of it and just the desire that I have for others to have that Holy Ghost, the gift of the Holy Ghost with them at all times. So I'm with Joseph Smith in, you know, the gift of the Holy Ghost is what sets us apart and what makes us different, and how and why we're so weird, I guess, and amazing, amazing as a people and as a church. And I testify of that, and to say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Two Point Conversion is a production of BYU Radio.